Hi, this is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
Ain't nobody, ain't nobody gonna steal my brand new groove. Oh, they look at her body. I'm about to lose my cool. I will not let you go. Everybody told you so. But you can't let me go. In your crazy arms. Damn, girl, you got me tired. I gotta lose my sleep. Love me, love me, love me. Love me till the lights come on. Oh, oh, oh. I will not let you go. Everybody told us so. But you can't let me go. When you're crazy.
This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome today Jesse Phillips from St. Paul and the Broken Bones. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Great to have you on the program. In case you are not familiar with St. Paul and the Broken Bones, I would be surprised if you weren't at this point, especially if you are a listener to public radio and if you follow the music scene going on just generally in the country. The term barnstorming came to mind. I don't know if that's an accurate term right now, but some fantastic things are going on for the group. We're going to be talking about their whole journey and Jesse's journey with them. The most recent album is their debut album, which is called Half the City. And Jesse, we were talking prior to the interview about some of our connections, and I oftentimes start an interview asking folks about their Montana connections, if they've been here, you know, they played here, if they've been to the national parks. You've got a real serious Montana connection. Let's start there and talk about your journey.
Yeah, sure. I was born in Fernie, just north of the Canadian border. But my folks have lived most of our lives in Grasmere, which is a tiny ranching community just north, 5-6 miles north of the border. School up there can only take you, at least when I was growing up, to I think fifth grade. So you have to make a decision at that point. And my mom and a lot of my mom's side of the family is from the Eureka area, just south of the border. Mm-hmm. So I went through all of my junior high school and high school years in Eureka, graduated from LCHS, Lincoln County High School, and once I started going to college, I went to college in New Orleans. I would still come back every summer and work in either the Kootenai National Forest or the Flathead National Forest, you know, doing trails or fire lookouts or whatever all through college. I eventually did move back up here for a while, 2005, 2006-ish, and lived in Missoula. Didn't really like the winter so much, and ended up moving back.
Wait, time out. After living in Eureka and Fernie, Missoula winters got
well,
to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I got spoiled, you know, because I went to college in New Orleans, which is, you know, subtropical, basically. And I was spending the summers up here, but I was down there for all of the winters, and so I think I got kind of spoiled. My blood thinned out a little bit.
I swear I have spoken to several musicians who share your background in working with the Forest Service as well as being musicians, and particularly the fire tower lookout thing. This is very compelling, I think, to a lot of people. This is the concept, but maybe explore that a little bit, and because I know that you've talked about this in other interviews.
The actual work is amazing. You sort of just get paid to go sit in a very beautiful place and look at the mountains, you know, and then notice if anything changes. So if a tiny smoke pops up out there somewhere, you notice immediately because it's sort of a change to your environment. But you can read novels and write songs and practice guitar and go on walks. And I mean, it's really pretty idyllic, you know. You're alone a lot, but if you can deal with that, it's an amazing job.
Yeah, and when you say you're alone a lot, this program is podcast now, so there'll be people all over the world listening. Those of us in Montana kind of get the idea of what you're talking about, but when you talk about being alone in these fire lookouts, I'm like, how close is the next living human being?
Yeah, sure. So I mean, this one, it's not drivable. The one I worked on is Spotted Bear Lookout. It's kind of directly below the southern border of Glacier Park and sits kind of on the northern edge of the Bob Marshall Wilderness. And if you decide specifically that you're going to this lookout, which is the only reason that you would go there, you hike for maybe 3 or 4 hours and gain about 4,000 feet in elevation, and the trail terminates at the lookout. So, you know, it's not on the way to anywhere else or anything like that. And so I would go up, and I mean, there would be times I wouldn't see other folks for 2-3 weeks. Certainly at this point in modern life, it's pretty weird for people to think about, you know, not seeing another human being for even like 14, 15, 16 days. And also, you know, I didn't have cell service up there and didn't have the internet. And it was a little bit different.
All I need is a little tender touch and a yet we burn the call. Oh baby, I heard what you said and I know that we will be all right. You are just a tiger and I am just a tiger and we ain't gonna let it fall. But you can't let me take it down, cause we got to take it slow.
Well, we've set the stage here in terms of your background and your connection to this area of the country. So now we got to go with the journey, follow along with you as to how you came to be not only in this group, but a founding member of it and a huge part of what's going on musically and otherwise.
Yeah, sure. So, I got a job offer in Birmingham. It took me a little while to sort of get my foot in the door in the music community, as it does whenever you move anywhere. I ended up being a substitute bass player in a band that Paul was singing in. Paul is the singer in St. Paul, Paul Janeway. I met Paul, and we were both kind of in our mid-20s doldrums and became fast friends, and he ended up becoming sort of my best friend in Birmingham. And we would make music for fun. I mean, just we would take coffee shop gigs just and learn a bunch of tunes or play like soul covers and stuff that we knew, or we would just make up a band that to open for our friends' bands that were that were touring through Birmingham, and they needed to help drawing. We knew at least we could get like 20 or 30 friends to come to a show if we were going to play, you know.
Necessity being the mother of invention.
Right, sure. But I mean, it wasn't anything that we were taking super seriously. So after a couple of years of doing that kind of thing, just off the cuff, a mutual friend of ours in Birmingham who owns a studio was just like, well, he came up to me backstage at this festival. I was playing with another band at the time called the Grenadines. And he's like, well, what are you and Paul up to? I mean, why aren't you guys doing anything? And it's like, well, you know, I mean, Paul's in accounting school. He's got this serious girlfriend. He's working as a bank teller. I'm trying to figure out what to do with my life. So we're just kind of doing things casually for fun. And he was like, well, why don't you guys start coming into the studio and we'll, you know, try to write some stuff that really suits Paul, you know, which I don't, for some reason, nobody's ever had ever done before at that point. Mm. So we started going to the studio once a week, kind of had just like, we joked about it being boys club, you know, like every Wednesday night. And Paul and I would just, we go in the studio, throw a bunch of stuff at the wall to see what stuck. The stuff that really, really worked out was just kind of the Southern soul sounding stuff. The stuff kind of rooted in a little bit like grittier R&B gospelish sound. And so that's sort of what we eventually started building in the studio. But we did want to frame Paul's voice in the most fitting way, I guess. And so that's where we arrived.
You got your limit, baby. High.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Jesse Phillips from St. Paul and the Broken Bones. Jesse, one of the things that is very apparent, and maybe I should tell listeners that as we are recording this, I'm talking to you the day after having seen the group live for the first time. Certainly this comes across live, but I also think it comes across in the recordings as well. This is very much a band. And the reason I say that is, I say that as a compliment, in the sense that I would think that that might be a challenge with having a singer that has the kind of dynamic voice that Paul does. It doesn't, I was going to say it doesn't overwhelm. What overwhelms you with is talent, but the band is very much an equal presentation. It comes across very much as a group. It's not, even though it's St. Paul and the Broken Bones, it's not Broken Bones are not in small case letters. It's very much, you know, what comes to the ears is very much an ensemble kind of thing. Is that something you guys are conscious of doing, or is that just something that comes from the chemistry of the players?
That was very intentional from the beginning. And I mean, sometimes when you see those kind of bands, depending on the tour you see them, you know, there'll be a different horn section or a different rhythm section, which is totally fine. I mean, when you're operating with super pro players, it's easy to just set them down with a set of charts and let them do it, and you would probably never even notice as a listener. But I mean, Paul didn't even want to name the, you know, he wanted to just have a band name and not do the thing with his name and the band. But in the beginning, I mean, the St. Paul and the Broken Bones thing, we had just we were using that as a working title in the studio because we had been joking about Paul and his, you know, his sort of teetotaling lifestyle and his church background, and we had just written a song called Broken Bones and Pocket Change. So you know, the band was never really even intentionally set up that way, and we were sort of searching for the right name, but then things just started rolling really, really, really fast, and once your name is all over the internet, you can't really change it.
Go back and change it to the Broken Bones.
Yeah, right. And it's sort of like easily Google searchable and all that kind of stuff. But you know, the whole band thing, equal footing, I mean, that is very intentional. I mean, it's everybody really thinks about their own parts. I mean, the band is built to sort of cater to everybody's strengths and minimize the weaknesses, which we will talk about. But it's an incredible ensemble of musicians. You know, I think part of the appeal of it is that everybody's on sort of equal footing. I mean, obviously Paul's the X factor in the band. I mean, he's the mouthpiece and the front man and everything. But you know, everybody's invested in it, and especially at the beginning when you're sort of grinding it out in a tour van for weeks and weeks and weeks at a time and nobody's making very much money and struggling to pay rent. I mean, that having people personally invested in the band and taking equal ownership of it is really, really important just for morale, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And we were lucky in that we made it through the really grindy part at the beginning relatively quickly. But I mean, Paul would be the first one to tell you that, I mean, he can't do what he does without us.
Right.
And vice versa, obviously. But it's very much a tight-knit, you know, equal footing unit.
I can't bear it no more. Oh, I crumble at the foot of love, the master of my pain. and my kingdom is falling. Oh, my kingdom, oh, it's falling. Why?
Jesse, in the journey that the band has been on, well, throughout the duration of the group, but particularly here in the last couple of years or so, what would you say is a highlight for you on the journey, just in general as a person, as Jesse?
Yeah,
and then
sure.
Maybe what specifically is a highlight for you as a musician? Does that make sense, that distinction?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, I'm in my 30s now, so I never really anticipated being able to just make music for a living at this point in my life. I just passed the 1-year anniversary of not having a real job, which is kind of a cool thing. It's kind of fun to find yourself in that position after all these years. As far as musically and as far as the band goes and everything, I mean, I don't know. We've found ourselves in these sort of unbelievable situations left and right in the last year. You know, we played our first show in France, and it was at this giant music festival in front of, you know, 8,000 people beside the banks of the River Seine in Paris. I mean, things like that are pretty incredible experiences. We played another festival in the Netherlands not long after that, where you basically drive until there's no more land left to drive on, then you get on a ferry, and then they take you out to this sort of Dutch bicycle utopia, I don't know, on the North Sea somewhere, and you know, you ride the ferry for 2 hours and you get off and you go play this festival, and it's, I mean, things like that are really, really fun. And I mean, you know, you'll find yourself backstage situations all the time. You know, I met John Paul Jones pretty recently, you know, bass player from Led Zeppelin, obviously, at a festival in San Francisco. You all of a sudden become peers with these people. Hmm. You don't, I mean, I don't think of myself like that, but then you sort of realize that you are. Yeah, you're playing the same festivals, the same stages, the same billing, you know? Uh-huh. So I think musically speaking, that's pretty neat.
Mama told me, son, it won't go away. That old heartache, it won't stop the rain. Please just try, boy, just find the Lord. If you can hear him say, just sit and pray. child, and I hope you find your way. I know it hurts, boy, but he'll heal your wounds. If you can hear him say, just sit and pray.
Half the City is the name of the debut album of St. Paul and the Broken Bones. StPaulandTheBrokenBones.com is the name of the website, the entire band name. No period after Saint. Other than that, it's pretty much just like it sounds, StPaulandTheBrokenBones.com. And that's where you can find out more about what the group's doing. And right now, they're doing a lot. A lot of things are going great for this tremendous group, really tremendous group of musicians. And very much something that is capturing people's hearts and minds in a deep way. You know, you can tell the connection that people are having with this music is it's beyond just this is the latest thing. There's some real connection going on. So good work.
Yeah, thank you.
Jesse, it's been a pleasure getting a chance to talk shop with you here on Musicians Spotlight, and hope we get a chance to visit down the road.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, John. Appreciate it.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been St. Paul and the Broken Bones. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org. You can also contact us through our own website, musicianspotlight.org, as well as through Facebook. Our program is now available as a podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to the Top Hat for this interview. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.